for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, May the 28th, 2016. Randy Ritchie is the speaker of the service teaching on idolatry.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're holy, you're good, you're righteous, you're a jealous God. You won't share us with anybody. You give us free will choice. We can choose to love you, choose to obey you, choose to be blessed, and we can choose to walk away unto destruction. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for a group of people that are choosing to run to you. With all of our faults and all of our problems and all of our issues, we're running to you. Because you're the answer. And I thank you, Father, that your people quit believing the lies that would cause them to run away. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're leading us into all truth. And I declare over these people, your people, Lord, that there'll be a people quick to repent as you convict them and quick to forgive. That they shall not let the sun go down on their wrath and give place to the devil ever again in their lives. Let it be, Lord. Thank you for authority over all the works and all of the power of the enemy. Jesus, you came to destroy the works of the enemy. You've been doing that here. And we're grateful for it, but we want more, Lord. We want more. We want more, Lord. We believe you for more. I believe you for more. You're destroying the works of Satan. And the prince of this world has nothing in you, Lord. And we give you the glory for the blood of the Lamb of God that allows us to be seated in heavenly places with you, Christ Jesus, far above the principalities and the powers. Thank you, Lord. Let God arise and the enemy be scattered. Let your anointing destroy yokes here tonight and beyond. Father, I just thank you. You said to decree a thing in your presence and it would be established. And so I decree perpetual and ongoing deliverance for the people of God here all the days of their life. I thank you. I declare over them their latter days shall be better than their former. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us already, manifesting your presence. Thank you that you're in us, but we love your presence, the tangible presence of the living God. We thank you for it. We don't take you for granted, Lord. Thank you that you come when we just ask. Thank you, you're an ever-present help in time of need, Lord Jesus, and your name is the strong tower that the righteous run into. We give you all the glory in advance for everything you do. What you've done, what you're going to do. Thank you for the blessings in this life. And we say, even so, Lord Jesus, come and fix this place. Fix us now, come and fix it. You're coming, and you're going to clean up this world. And a better day arises. Let that be all of our blessed hope and assurance in every day of our life, even the great days, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to speak. We've heard this come out of a bunch of us already, in a matter of course in prayer, at times in talking, but we're going to talk about idolatry. We're going to go into depth about idolatry. And lay this out here, and I want to present to you that every sin we ever do starts with idolatry. You can put that in front of every sin that we do. So if you really want to start hammering the devil and repent and keep cleansed and walk cleansed, go and confess idolatry when you do anything else. Because basically all of our sin is in some way we've decided that our opinion, our emotions, our feelings, and our reactions are more important than what God says. Let that sink in there. Every time we sin, we have said that the way we feel is more important than what God says. And I don't care whether that's sexual sin or whether that's anger or whether that's laziness or apathy or anything. We can go down the list. So everybody just say it, man. Say, Lord,
Lord,
forgive me,
forgive me
for idolatry. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. How many know He'll do that?
Yes.
Okay. Definition of idolatry, it is the worship of a physical object as a god. The worship of a physical object as a god. An immoderate attachment or devotion to something. Definition of idolize, the transitive verb, it's to worship as a god broadly, or to love or admire to excess. Idolize, to worship as a god broadly, to love, admire, access, or relating idolatrous is or of relating to idolatry, having the character of idolatry, or given to idolatry. How many know as a nation we've pretty well given to idolatry? You may not know it, but right there, I'm just going to go here. we need to repent for this nation. How many have ever been to Washington, D.C.? Now, the Lord sent some great people over here that came with the idea to serve the living God. But the devil sowed a lot of seed here too. Okay? And if you go to Washington, D.C., I was astounded by the paganness of our capital city. The Masonic structures are unbelievable. If you went in our capital and you looked up, the first time I went, I didn't know of the depths of Freemasonry and the pagan symbol. I didn't know, but I looked up in the gondola of our nation's capital, and there sits George Washington on Zeus's throne, surrounded by a goddess of liberty, a goddess of victory, a goddess of peace. And I looked at that and I said, this isn't Christian. It's not. The Statue of Liberty was a gift of the Masons of France to the United States and resisted by the people of the United States for years. And that statue really represents, if you go back all the way through history, you can go through various goddesses to a woman named Semiramis, who was the wife of Nimrod in Babylon. Okay? And the rays on her head are Apollo, and it's worshiping the sun. And the goddess that came down the line all the way through is various goddesses like Celebi and Artemis, and all always required child sacrifice, and sexual sin was part of her forte. Do we have a sexual sin and child sacrifice problem in our nation?
Yes. Yes.
That should not be our symbol.
Yes.
I pray for the day when God takes it down.
Amen.
And I want you to know that He's given some, you know, we had an earthquake in Washington, D.C. a little while back. There were two buildings that got damaged. You know what they were? Two edifices. One of them was the Washington Monument, which is no more or less than a male symbol. Okay? And the other one was the National Cathedral, which has become a hell house in which every religion is allowed to worship in there. It's not a house of God. But both buildings got damaged. Was God saying something? I don't think the devil damaged his own place. Come on. Okay. Here's what Yahweh says in His Word. Exodus 20:3-4 says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below." James 4:4, "You people are not faithful to God. You should know that loving what the world has is the same as hating God." That's a sobering thing, church. So anyone who wants to be friends with this evil world becomes God's enemy. I don't mean we hate people. We love people. How many know that you might not be as blind as you were when you came in here this week? I've come to learn things I know now. I didn't know last week. I'm not any better than anybody else that doesn't know what I know. I'm supposed to share. Huh? And then God's going to open up something to me next week, and I'll know more than I knew this week. It's an ongoing thing. But all by the grace of God. James 4:5. "Do you think the Scriptures mean nothing? The Scriptures say the Spirit of God made to live in us wants us only for Himself." I went on two mission trips to Nepal, and we were at a place with the same man both times. It was the head of what they call the resort we stayed at. And we witnessed to him, and I began talking to him one day. He said, "Randy," he said, "if I accept this Jesus, I give up everything." I said, "but if you don't, you lose everything." Okay. But then I said, he said, "why can't I just have him with my other gods?" Because see, that's what the Hindus do.
Yeah.
And that I'm going to tell you right now that the predominant world spirit going forward is not going to be atheist. It's not going to be atheist. It's not going to be agnostic. It's going to be highly religious. in which all roads say, they're going to say all roads lead to God. Catholic Church already is making inroads to make with the Muslims. And the only people that are going to be intolerated are those that say there's only one way to God. Who would that be? Everybody raise your hand. I mean, you know, the world's so upside down that they call us intolerant.
Yeah.
Even though that we do love people, those that truly represent God are not hateful anyway. We don't hate anybody. We don't hate anybody. You better not be hating those Muslims. If you are, you're not showing the heart of God. You should be praying for them. God's saving them right and left over there. Everybody say, praise God.
I wasn't born
a Muslim. Because if you were born there, you would have been. Amen? They need our prayer. We got some fat. We already got family. Some of them already dead because they got martyred. And they held. They held. Sister alluded to that today. They held. They got their heads cut off. None of them recanted. That's all they had to do. That's all they had to do. And I promise you that if they were over there recanting, that'd be on the news. You hear what I'm saying? That'd be on the news too. The Spirit of God gives us strength. Why fear anything? We don't have to fear anything.
Amen.
But this man, when he said, I can, because the Hindu thing is to make, they got a million gods. What's another one? 3 million. What's another one? So they want to take Jesus, and some of them will say they accept him, they just put him in there, and they add him to their worship list, to their appeasement list. Because, you know, you got to appease those gods. You got to do something to make them accept you. Our God says, just believe in me, and I'll accept you. Huh? I watched a lady walk down the road, and she lit a fire in her house, did a water deal, did a spin around, did that, walked down the road, did a Catholic genuflection, touched a tree, all trying to start a morning. How many know you're glad? You, all you got to do is say hello. Amen. But that man told me, he said, Randy, why can't I have these other, you know, just put Jesus in there? I said, sir, are you married? He said, yes. I said, how many husbands do you want your wife to have? And he said, oh, there's only one, right? Jesus. He won't accept others. Okay? He doesn't partner with, he doesn't share us with anybody but his daddy and the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he lets us be part of one beautiful body, his body. Amen? We're not alone. We have family. All over the world, we have family. It's getting bigger all the time. Everybody say, praise God.
Praise God.
You know, this thing, freedom, this thing of coming here to get delivered so your life improves? It does. The number one thing that needs to happen is your life improves so much that you can tell the story.
Amen.
That you can share what He's done for you. How good He has been. Number one, you're not going to hell anymore. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, I heard a man say the number one reason I got saved, I didn't want to go to hell. I thought that's pretty good. It is the number one reason. Everything else is a bonus. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Deuteronomy 29:18, make sure there's no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. Deuteronomy 7:26 says, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house. It's not up there. Lest there be a cursed thing like it. Lest you be a cursed thing like it. So in other words, what you bring in your house is cursed. You become like it. That's what he says. Thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. There's some cursed things. You got a dream catcher. You got a patina doll. You got totem poles. I know Christians that put these on there. I live in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all cursed. That's called a dream catcher. It's supposed to collect spirits. It does. I guarantee you. They're attracted to it.
Yeah.
And that patina doll there. And that totem pole. They'll curse you. Bring destruction. You could call them a charged object. In other words, a demon has a right to be attached to it. And they will. And listen, you will never take anything that's been dedicated, made for, and prayed, and given to false gods and redeem it. Nothing. The only thing redeemable on the face of the earth is you and me. That's it. Even the earth, I want you to see this, even the earth is going to get burned up. God's just given a time frame for family to come in. But the earth, He cursed. And it's not redeemable. So at the end of 1,000 and a few short years, He's going to burn this up. And we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
Amen? Even heaven, where Lucifer fell, it has to be burned up. Because He's going to get a fresh start if I say amen.
Amen.
That's going to be a glorious day, isn't it?
Amen.
1,000 and a few short years if they hear like this. Thank you, Lord. Buddha. That is a Kabbalah bracelet. Kabbalah is Jewish witchcraft. Various forms of it. You know, witchcraft got more denominations than we do. You okay? But Kabbalah is a Jewish form of it, and they happen to, like the faith dealers over in Louisiana and the root workers in places, they use the Word of God along with their magic. But the Kabbalah specifically invokes angels through the Word of God. And how many know they're not getting God's angels to answer that? But they get the other ones. The menorah could be a good symbol. Problem is all these things are made by people in Judaism. Judaism. What do you know? Judaism represents a people who rejected Jesus. Okay, the temple. I know Christians that think that temple that's going to be built, that's going to come in Jerusalem, is a good temple. It's not. It's unholy. It's going to be built by the Freemasons and the Luciferians, and it's built for the Antichrist to seat in. It's not a holy thing. Jesus is the sacrifice. There is no other sacrifice. Hear that. So anything, the common denominator between this, this, and this, is they all reject Jesus as Lord and God. Okay? So there's no difference, and you need to know that. Okay? The bottom one is what's called the Star of David. It's not. It's the Star of Remphan. Okay? Look it up in the Bible. Look up Remphan. R-E-M-P-H-A-M. God told him, you worship your star. It is the symbol, and the reason it's the symbol on the Israeli flag is because a man named Meyer Rothschild, that any of you who know what the New World Order is, or know what the international bankers are, who really control the world, he is a Jewish man who doesn't serve the living God. He's as wicked as any man on the face of the earth. God save his soul. Okay? But that's his symbol. It's his symbol. And it was in red. They ended up putting it on that flag. But it's the Star of Remphan. It's actually Saturn. And we're worshiping Saturn, Saturnalia. Another, many people believe that's actually the devil. Okay? So it's not a holy symbol. You need to know that. So if you're wearing that, anybody wearing that, anybody got in your house, you got a curse. It's not of Yahweh. That star got used and associated with Israel at the time of Solomon when he was running around with all those women and delving into all the Eastern religions. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you can see that there are hints in there that he went off into astral projection, and he also went, which is leaving your body and traveling, by the way. Okay? How many know that's not of God? Okay? So he went off into astral projection. He went off into believing in reincarnation. He had a reset at the end. You can read that in the book of Ecclesiastes. I always tell you, boy, that's an up and down story. He gets to the end. And in a paraphrase, he said the chief end of man is just to obey God. He came to the end of all that. Nothing satisfied. Star of Remphan. Oh, there's that ugly thing. That is ugly. All right, there's flags around it because it's a point in a circle which represents both male and female, if you look at it. We've got them all over the country. You've got San Jacinto Monument down there. So you've got them here. You've got them everywhere where there's a heavily Masonic presence. You're going to see these all throughout South, even up north, too, in the graveyards. And everywhere you see one of those, they're smaller than that, of course. But, that, by the way, that's like 666 feet from the bottom to the top. You think that means anything? Okay. So, anyway, where you see these in the graveyards, that is telling you a heavily Masonic presence because it's the Masons that use those. Okay? Now, not every Freemason is an inherently evil person. Many of them are good people. I do an extensive teaching on Freemasonry. My daddy was a 32nd degree Mason and a Shriner, but he was a messed up man. And so there's good Buddhists and there's good Hindus. There's nice people. Hey, if I got news for you, there's nice people called Christian that ain't saved.
That's right, man.
You hear me? But Freemasonry is a dark, dark Luciferian religion that's hidden in works of goodness to the guys that don't have any understanding. And this is one of their primary symbols. It's Baal worship as well. Okay? So there's the G, the compass in the square, and there is the Eastern Star, which, by the way, is a five-point down-point star, which always represents Satanism in the occult realm. Okay? Not just a pentagram with the star up, that's that point down. Oh, by the way, look at the Republican, I hate to say this, but look at the Republican Party symbol. A little while back, they changed that symbol to the five, those stars are all down. The elephant. It was a profound change in the spirit realm. Now, this, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Christian. I want God's best for us. You hear what I'm saying? And, you know, we got to believe God for and we got. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter who's elected president. If this nation doesn't repent, listen, start crying out yourselves. It takes people like us crying out, Lord, forgive me, forgive these, forgive the church. Lord, have mercy. And a true repentance where we're crying out to Him. Now listen, it's not going to change the book. Okay? Prophecies are coming. You know, everything's going to fulfill. The Antichrist is coming. None of that is stopping. Tribulation's going to happen. But what it does is stave off some disasters in the meantime that until God says now is the time, it staves off the disasters where other souls can get saved. Cry out, people. That's ugly, isn't it? I mean, like the looks of that. Okay? These are chakra points. Okay? All of these points. Lots of this is getting mixed up in the church. And I'm going to a place now, and I'm going to take an aside because it needs to be done. And it's going to be about essential oils. When this first came to my attention, I had a son in the Lord call me and says, what do you think about essential oils? I said, I don't know. I'll look. Because I'm going to tell you something. If the thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy, I'm not going to help him. I'm tired of helping him. I'm not going to do it anymore. He stole from me, tried to kill me, destroyed things of mine, all my life. I don't want to help him anymore. So I'm going to close the doors and avenues. Yes. I'm going to look at anything that I would get involved in or any counsel I give to anybody. I'm going to bother to take the time to find out. So he called me and asked me about the essential oil. So I said, well, I'll check. Okay? Because his mother-in-law knows the tribulation's coming. Doesn't feel like there'll be any medicine available. So she bought about $5,000 worth of these oils. Okay? Started putting them on her kids and his kids and such. But I want to read. Now, I've got two articles I'm going to read parts of. And here's how I research things. I'm going to go just look. Essential oils. I typed in essential oils and witchcraft. Well, the first thing pops up is all the witchcraft sites that use all these oils, especially Young's Living Oil. They consider it the finest. Okay? That's on their sites. So the witchcraft supply stores are full of these oils. Okay? So that's ding ding, that's an alarm. Okay? So the next place I look is Christian website pops up, and it's called Liberty to the Captives or something there, and they go into a deep dissertation about why there's a problem with them. Okay? And they show the things that Young's says about the oils. Well, then I'm going to go to Young's Living Oil, and I'm going to see what they say. I'm going to go to the source. If you want to find out about karate and the spiritual aspects of that, go find out what they say. Not the American karate people. I'm talking about the people over there that... Or yoga. And the yoga masters will tell you, you're not going to separate it from the spiritual. You don't. There's no way to. Even the moves, the hand moves or conjure moves, they're moves to conjure up demons. And it works. We don't want to be a part of that. Okay? So here, I'm going to read this. A little bit of it. Below you will find evidence Young Living essential oils attribute spiritual qualities to the products. Number one problem. Spiritual attributes to the product. They use witchcraft jargon to describe their products. Well, that's a problem. They place Luciferian symbolism on their product guide in certain products. That seems to be. And they teach witchcraft doctrines in connection with the use of their products. There's another problem. How many witnesses do we need? So, here's their spiritual claims and witchcraft jargon. Gary Young's Living Essential Oils Company attributes spiritual properties to many of their products. Below are a few examples of the spiritual claims they make for their products. Their descriptions indicate their essential oils have the power to do things of a spiritual nature. My explanations of occult terms used by Young's Living Oils are in blue. Y'all won't see that. Now listen. They got one called Aroma Life. Pulsing with life, this vibrant blend energizes your life force. It is best applied over heart energy, front and or back. Those are witchcraft terms. New age term. Dream catcher. Oh, we talked about that earlier. If you name all dream catcher, there might be a problem. It may be useful during meditation and enhance dreams and visualizations. Meditation and visualization are practiced by witches and other occultists in order to contact the spirit realm. They got one called humility, an oil. It offers forgiveness and obtaining a deeper spiritual awareness. And it brings balance to your heart and mind. Seems to me those are jobs of the Holy Spirit. Jasmine has been used throughout history for romance and attraction and for balancing the feminine energy of the body. Feminine energy is a witchcraft term. It's a New Age term. Yin and yang, male and female, good and evil. Okay? Now listen to me. Can you say love potion? Huh? They're love potions. Listen, right now, if you want to, you can get online, you can buy a love potion, somebody will send you a witchcraft thing, and it would work on somebody. Don't do it. It'll destroy you. Hurt somebody else, it'll destroy you. Okay? Anybody listening to that, know that. There's nothing you can't find and do. I said at the very beginning of this, you can choose destruction if you want to. God doesn't want you to. He loves us too much. Okay? He paid too big a price. But all of these are potions. They're witches' brew. Now, and if I read all the way through here, which I probably won't, but if I read all the way through here, it comes to a place where it says that the lady that wrote this is saying, it's not saying that every one of these oils is evilly inherent in itself. If you made your own, if you had a totally Christian source that dedicated to Yahweh and you had purpose and you knew from the Lord that it was okay to use them, it might well be one thing. But these people are attributing spiritual qualities to the oil, so it becomes the same as that totem pole and the same as that dream catcher and the same as that Buddha, and no amount of praying in the world is going to deliver that thing and make it okay. You cannot redeem it. Valor. It's been found to help energy allotment in the body, energy alignment in the body. Another term, New Age. Highest potential is an exotic blend designed to increase your capacity to achieve your highest potential. How about you, but I want to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. White Angelica combines oils used during ancient times to enhance the body's aura, which brings about a sense of strength and endurance. Many people use it as a protection against negative energy. That's called a talisman. Huh? That's called, there are things called talisman. There are things that they're used to ward off. Talisman is generally some object that's used for protection or used against something else. And let me tell you something. Everything you use in the witchcraft world, it may work for a season, but you're making a trade for something worse. Okay? Awaken. It helps bring about inner awareness and awakening. It helps you progress towards your highest potential. Your inner awareness is recorded by occultists as enlightenment or cosmic consciousness. The goal is to seek a profound and intuitive understanding of the divine nature within as the outer unreal self is stripped away. Now look, those are just a few of them. But see, this was on a site talking about it. I've gone personally to the site and seen things that some of the oils give you energy and some give you courage and some give you peace. Some give you joy according to them. So I vetted this by going to their site. Okay? They have a phoenix on there. Phoenix is a bird. And I'm going to tell you what it represents, and that is the symbolism of the people that want to see this nation destroyed and the whole world order as it is destroyed, and then a new world order come to pass. Okay? And that bird is a mythical bird. It's a god, and that bird was destroyed by fire, and out of their ashes rose up new. Okay? And a phoenix, anytime you see a phoenix on something, it's an ungodly thing. It's also known as a thunderbird. Anybody ever heard of a thunderbird? Same thing. Different name. They had an oil that's called transformation that transforms the way you think so that you can sell the oil. It's all witchcraft. Gary Young, I'm going to go on down. I'm going to pass today. You know, it just says right here, the problem is, and many of the people, now listen, I know good people that love the Lord using these oils. It's running crazy in the church. The reason people are using them is because the medical field is messed up. Everybody knows it. There's a lot wrong. Medicine on top of medicine on top of medicine. Medicine for this side effect, and you need this side effect. And all down the line, people get destroyed. It's going crazy. Okay, everybody knows that. So the devil has found an end around. So to get away, so it's, you see, because the way the medical field is being practiced for the most part is witchcraft, so now he says, well, I got another way to get witchcraft in the church. I'm not saying they're all bad and all doctors are bad, but there's a mess. So here are these oils, and I know very good people. Some of them, I know many that we talked to got rid of them, got delivered. Demons do come out every time. Every time. Okay. Know people, but I know people that have this block because they have distributed these oils and given to these people, and they would have to lose face to quit. But not only that, they're making money. So it just even says right here, is money your bottom line? Money's your God. But
what about the plug-in, like Febreze or the plug-in essential
oil? Oh, Febreze or whatever. I mean, you have to research. But if somebody attributes spiritual qualities, they have made it witchcraft. You're not going to undo it. So, doTERRA is the other brand. They attribute spiritual qualities the same, but they're also the guys of Mormon, for sure. Gary Young probably is, but he's smart enough not to say so. But where he's from and where they're out of him. Okay? I mean, for his business. Okay, but the other guy, doTERRA, he's definitely a Mormon. High-ranking elder in the church. I've researched that. So the root of things, let me tell you something, church. You want to stay free? You find out the roots.
Amen.
You dig. You find out the roots. When we're attacking things here, when we're attacking things spiritually, listen, there's some fruit plucking we take off, but you don't get free until the root's found. That's why we're always going back to childhood. That's why I'm always going back to find where you got hurt. Where you got wounded. Because you've got to go there. See, we don't live in the past. Right? You don't live there. But the only way you get healed is to go back there. So there's a time to go back there and get Jesus involved in the issue and get healed. And then you go back, the only time you go back and even worry about it and talk about it is to give God some glory so somebody else has some hope when they see what God's done for you. Amen? Then you talk about it. I know people getting bragging contests about how bad they were.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the wrong spirit. I mean, if you're legitimately saying, man, I did this to help somebody, you know, God saved me of that. He turned me around and put my feet on solid ground. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He changed my life. And you're honestly sharing, that's good. But not bragging about how bad you were. Lord, I don't walk in shame. I wish there's a whole lot of things I wish I hadn't done. Huh? Praise God, I don't want my children doing what I did. How many want their children doing what I did? I don't know. Okay. I want to say personally, Mandy called me. I found this information. Okay? I'm going to read just a little bit and then I'll tell that story. Talk about Gary Young and a thing called a raindrop technique. This is on their website. And you look up Gary Young, the guy that runs Young's Living Oil. Oh, he's a humanitarian, by the way. Great money, great foundation, goes all over the world, helps people, feeds people, helps orphans, all that. That's good. Shriners have a Shrine Hospital. People get, you know, children, you know, things happen to them. That's good. But to be affiliated with them is bad. And to be a part of what they do is bad. And it's physically, or it is spiritually destructive to your life. Okay? The devil comes as an angel of light. So here's the raindrop technique. It involves applying therapeutic grade essential oils to the spine, the neck, and the feet. It lasts about an hour. However, the benefits may last up to a week or more. There's feather stroking. This is similar to a massage term technique called Etheroos, but this technique was actually termed by Native American Indians. What is the concept behind feather stroking? In the 80s, Gary Young worked with a Lakota Sioux elder named Wallace Black Elk. He learned that the Lakota people went to Canada to experience the northern lights or the Aurora Borealis before they were border crossings and reservations. The Lakota people would raise their hands towards the light and breathe in the energy of the light for transformational purposes. Once the Lakota people could no longer cross the border, they created a stroking technique along the spine using a feather that simulated the energy of the Aurora Borealis. And this massage technique that was taught to Gary Young is named feather stroking. Okay? On the raindrop technique, where they drop this oil from on high, they admit on their website they're opening chakra points. Okay? Chakra points. I had a young man that was deceived the other day, and I did work in deliverance with him, and we got made some breakthrough, and got him a little more stable than he was, because he was really being tormented at the moment, and the Lord did some good things for him. And then all of a sudden he goes and he tells me, he said, I had a dream last night and God told me to ask him to open 3 chakra points. I said, that wasn't God, son. Okay? So just a very... All right. So the man that called me, I did the research, I called him back, and he says, but it works. Cleared up my sinuses. I told him, which doctor medicine works? Just because it works doesn't mean it's of God. Because you're making an exchange with the devil. And so a lot of these people using the oils right now, their life's going okay. But the stage is set for a future disaster. Now, those that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness and really want God to move, things get exposed quickly for them. It just works that way. If you're not, you'll be blinded. If you're not serious with God, oftentimes this stuff stays till great damage is done. If you're serious with God, it'll manifest quickly. Okay? But this, many times it does, and it's so we can deal with it. So this couple and their children love the Lord. So after calling me to ask that, then they called about a week later and said their children experienced pains, one in the stomach, and one's having stomach pains came in another, and the other one's having headaches. And my wife and I were traveling down there, and they said, would you come by and pray? And I said, I would. Now, the young man is a spirit-filled Christian. He was 15 years old at the time. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, got a prayer language. Good young man of God. I said nothing to him about anything. I said, let's ask God what source this is. Thanks, Caleb. Okay? I said, let's ask him, Caleb. And we asked the Lord, and he said, I see oils. Okay? Repented, broke the curse, cast the devil out, pain went away. Okay? At grandmother's, a wonderful woman of God. She loves the Lord. She's as sweet a woman as you ever met. But she was bought all those oils. They didn't want to get rid of them. Okay? Then one day, little grand boy started growling. When he got rid of them. Repented, got rid of the oils, cast the demon out, went away. So I'm speaking to anybody here and anybody that's in the sound of my voice now and down the road. You need to ask God. And you need to get away from it. Young's Living Oil, doTERRA, and any other one that has any spiritual attributes. I pray you hear in Jesus' name. All right. So we'll go on down the road. Here are some images of idols. Odin, Frigg. Oh, by the way, that's where we get the name Friday from. Our Friday's from that god. Sunday, sun. Monday, moon. Frigg is Friday. Saturday is Saturn. So, nothing we're going to do about that until Jesus comes, but I guarantee you those won't be millennium names. Huh? I promise you they won't be millennium names. Okay. There's Thor. How many have heard of the Avengers? Yeah. I want you to know if you read Genesis 6, I'm not going to go there to very deep at all, but Genesis 6 says that Bani Elohim, the sons of God, took the daughters of men for wives. There were giants, mixtures, Nephilim in the land. Okay? The Avengers, if you look at every one of the characters, they are mixtures. They're mixtures between humans and other creatures. They're preparing the hearts of the children for the day that's going to come, because Jesus said it's going to be just like the days of Noah. This guy Thor is also one of the creatures. He's a god. He's a false god. Okay? It's not entertainment that we ought to be letting our children watch. They're just trying to prepare us for the day that these guys all show up again. Because they're going to. Listen to them. They're going to. We're dealing with them and you can't see them now. But they're going to show up. And And those that know their Lord will do their great exploits. We're not to be scared. Huh? But it's coming. Celtic gods. They're ugly too. These are. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Oftentimes they have unholy trinities as a counterfeit to the god. The Hindus. This is the Hindu trinity. The more Hindu demons. And remember, look, these aren't people's imaginations. I mean, who sits around and drinks this up? These are things that actually happened before the flood. Architecture all over the world is showing it. That's probably about what Goliath looked like there. You know, they were all over the world. They find bones all over the world, giant bones everywhere, all over this nation too. Okay, the government and the Catholic Church have been hiding that from people for years because, the Bible says so. There it is. It points back to the validity of the Bible. Okay. These are some voodoo gods. Okay? And one of the things that you find wherever the Catholic Church went, okay, is that they were willing to mix. So you got the voodoo has Catholicism mixed with it. Macumba, which is a South American witchcraft, has Catholicism mixed with it. Santeria, which is in Mexico, has Catholicism mixed with it. And by the way, so even on the regular Catholic stuff, you see that, all that? That goes all the way to Babylon. Those are Babylonian symbols. They're not to do with the divinity of God. They're to do with sun god and moon god worship. See that behind there? And then there was a mother-son cult with a woman named Semiramis that I referred back to her earlier with the Statue of Liberty. She was Nimrod's wife, and she set herself up and became worshipped as a goddess. And her son's name was Tammuz. So there's mother-son cults that went all over the world that came out of that, including in Catholicism. And this woman, this Semiramis, her name was the Queen of Heaven, and that's the term that's been given to Mary. The Queen of Heaven. There is no Queen in Heaven. Everybody know that, right? No Queen in Heaven. There's King in Heaven. And He's not married except us. Thank You, Lord. We're betrothed to Him. Amen. Huh? He doesn't have a wife like that. So, the Mormons believe, the Mormons believe that Father God literally had sex with Mary. As a man. As it took the form of a man and had literal physical sex with Mary. That's not how it happened. But their root comes back to all this mess too. Okay? Aztec gods, Inca gods, Hindu gods, out of Babylon, all over the world. All over the world, this religion spread. The Bible says in the days of Peleg, the land was divided. You had Babylonian religion at its central core. And in the days of Peleg was when God divided the land after He scrambled the languages. This went all over the place. So you've got winged serpent worship, sun god worship, moon god worship, human sacrifice going on all over the world with different names. Okay? Same stuff, different names. Because the languages and the culture change the names, but the same gods. Okay? People go, listen, if you've ever done this, you need to repent. If you've ever been to Mexico or any of those places and you've gone to Chichen Itza and you've gone to that as a tourist, you open the door. That's not a tourist site. Those unholy, ungodly places are not meant for us to go to. If God sends you on a prayer mission, that's one thing. But to go as a tourist and give credence to those gods and what they've done is an open door to a territorial spirit violation, and they come into people. I've seen people be attacked immediately that way, but I've also seen many, many people get delivered because they picked up the demons when they went there. Get rid of it. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, sacrifice people. We're going to pray here in a little bit. We're going to repent for our ancestors. Some of them that sacrificed humans. And some of you are going to have those demons in you. And some of you have demons in you from people that ate human beings. You don't know what your ancestors did. But we're going to cover the ground. We have a saying that says, when in doubt, cast it out. If it's not there, it won't leave. So, let's tell it to go and breathe. If it's there, come out. Amen? Consistently, those spirits are in people. And by the way, the Native Americans, when I went to Oklahoma, I did a study Because I'm going into a territory. I want to find out what the Choctaw religion was. Because I'm in Choctaw territory. So the Choctaws are tied to the Creek, who are tied to the Muscogee, and the Muscogee religion goes back here, back there to Aztecs. Okay? And so in doing deliverance with Choctaw Creek people, I've been spending a Creek woman in particular doing deliverance with her, and I started calling out Sun God, Moon God, Quetzalcoatl, and all those, and they were there, manifested heavily. If you want to come worship this microphone, a demon will take on the name microphone and come listen to you. You hear what I'm saying? Whatever you want to call you, whatever you want to worship, there's a spirit. That's why Paul said you worship idols, they're nothing but wood. They're nothing but wood, stone, whatever, but they're really worshiping the demons. Okay? So when you worship something, when you make it your idol, you're going to have a spirit that'll take on the name of whatever it is you're worshiping. So those AA people that are saying it's okay to worship a doorknob, I guess they got a doorknob demon. It sounds funny, but it's true. We've seen, if you do this long enough, you'll see the funniest names come up at times. I had a woman tell me, the Lord told me a woman had a turtle spirit way back a long time. I said, turtle spirit? And the Holy Spirit said, yes. And he said, pray for it, anoint her neck. I touched her neck, she fell to the ground, sucked her neck in like this. She had a turtle spirit. Which meant every time she was in trouble, she was trying to retreat. But that's the way that, every time she felt less resistance in her life, she was going to hide like a turtle does. But that's how it manifests. Everybody say, I have no agreement with the turtle spirit. In Jesus' name. Yes. The spirit realm doesn't care whether you believe or not. If you got a symbol that's unholy and ungodly and it's cursed by God, like sun gods, moon gods, you see people put those half sun god, moon god things up on their porch and all that thing, spirit realm's going to take advantage of it. It's open door. And so that's ignorance. It's just like, it's like running a stop sign. If you didn't see it, you still don't get the ticket.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, tell that to the cops. You know. You can think of the demon sometimes as God's police. Listen. Huh? He's in charge of them. He made the law when we... Now, look, we come under grace. We're under grace. We come into Jesus. But grace is power not to sin. The reason we're doing this deliverance is the reason that we repent and we go is because there is charges that are against us in the spirit realm that need to be repented for before the court of heaven, taken into account. The curse is a legal right, bro. And then we can become the sheriff to evict the squatter. Okay? All right? But if there's the reason, now listen. Who goes before the throne of God night and day accusing the brethren? Who does? Who's he accusing? Is he wasting his time?
No.
Who on earth decides the punishment of somebody that's guilty of a crime? Judge. So you look at Job, the judge determines the level of access that the accuser of the brethren has. Okay? But if he has a charge against you that's unrepented for, the judge who is righteous, holy, pure, and the law, listen, by the way, the law did not get abolished. Jesus said, I come to fulfill the law. He fulfilled it on our behalf, so the ordinance and the punishment doesn't have to be ours if we come under His grace. But if you break the law, you're going to pay a penalty. Go rob a liquor store. That's breaking God's law. What's going to happen? Something's going to happen in it, huh? If you have adultery in your marriage, you can lose your marriage. The thief comes, kills, steals, destroys. The wages of sin is death. Depends on how the wages come. So sometimes, now look, do you know that the law, I want you to see that the law that we have is supposed to protect you from criminals and the police, right? Is it supposed to measure what the police do? Are they supposed to obey the law? They don't always, okay? But we need the law. So the law is there, but sometimes the police who enforce the law, if you don't come under grace and under the blood of Jesus and repent of things, cancel those charges. Okay? Those police get out of hand. God doesn't like that either. You know, you go back and look at Babylon, he used that as an example. Nebuchadnezzar, they came down, they got after Israel, but they got a little too happy with it. And God punished them. Nothing new under the sun. So, sister, get rid of it. Amen. That's my counsel. Sun gods, moon gods, the man in the moon. Okay? All those things are representative of worship. They're not just innocent things. Look at the Pope there. You see that? That's called the host. You've got that in the Catholic Church as well. You can go in there and they call it the host. It's where they do their communion. Okay? What they call the Eucharist. And in those churches, it'll have the wafer in there, a big one. And it has all of that array around that host. That's representing the sun. So when they go there and bow, they're bowing to the sun. Yeah. They're bound to the sun. So that is sun god worship right there, straight out of Babylon. Okay? Alright? Islam is the moon god. Allah is the moon god. Okay? Possibly even Saturn. Okay? You see that right there? That is Horus. The back of the dollar bill, the eye of Horus, that's that all seeing eye, that's this guy. He's the eye of Horus. It also read the Hindu dot. Same thing. It represents the ability to see into the spirit realm without God. You're not supposed to do that. How many know that? Huh? There are many people, listen, there are many people that came out of witchcraft or had inherited witchcraft that get born again and they have their false prophetic and they're seeing things they're not supposed to because that third eye was opened by witchcraft, ritual, or drug use and it never got closed. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, but you've got to know that there's counterfeit giftings. Huh? There are things that counterfeit, so there's false prophecy.
Yes.
Okay? The gift of mercy is exploited by somebody that enables it. When they become an enabler, the enemy's counterfeiting that. You hear what I'm saying? There's false tongues. Counterfeit tongue. They need to bind them all. Every counterfeit tongue prayed over us here today. By anybody, anywhere, we break the power of it in Jesus' name. Okay? So, that is Horus. Hindu dot represents that. Back the dollar bill, all sing out. That's not God's eye, that's this guy here. Okay? He's also one of those mixtures. There's the sun and the moon put together, which not only represents sun god, moon god, but it's a yin yang symbol. See how they're combined? Okay? Oh, and by the way, these symbols you find all over the world. You know, the swastika is not a Nazi symbol originally. It's a Hindu symbol. You know what it represents? It represents a portal. And a portal would be something that's opened up into the second heaven by men through ritual that invite dark things into our world. Okay? So that's what that swastika, the original representation. But you find it in India, you find it in Nepal, you find it all over over Asia, and you find it across Native America as well. Okay? When I was in Nepal and I looked at the Buddhist temples that were there, not from the inside. Okay? Okay? When I looked at them, their symbolism was strikingly like the Mormon temple in places and Masonic lodges. Anywhere you look. It all came from Babylon. Same root. Oh, Lord. Now, we're meddling now, aren't we? Huh? Football. I used to love football. Passionate about it. I don't mind watching a football game anymore. I had no passion for it. I mean, not like that. I don't. I'm not going to get mad if a team loses or any of that. You know, but it's misplaced. I'm going to tell you a story. Okay, so we got football, baseball, basketball, hunting, fishing. Anything can become an idol like that. Anything. I was at my son's football game years ago. They went to, probably 5 years ago. They went to the state championship that year. They were a good team, and so the it was at a home game, and the crowd was full. And I walked down the steps going to get a concession or the bathroom or something, and the crowd erupts. We must score a touchdown. And goosebumps break out all over me. And I'm going, Lord, I don't think you're cheering Cold Spring on. Okay? I don't believe you're just approving that they scored a touchdown. I don't believe that's what that is. What is this? And he told me it's called a spirit called ecstasia. Like ecstasy. And it is a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's running throughout our churches and places. Okay? Counterfeit of the Holy Spirit makes you feel good, but it's not God. How many know we need to have the real thing? Amen? He wasn't cheering on the team, my team. He showed them. All over the world, if you do a study, you'll find that people that do rituals and do things, they go into what's called an ecstatic shape or ecstatic being. Okay? And that means when a spirit that's from outside, it either manifests inside or it comes in them from outside and they go into this ecstatic place. There's the, in Voodoo, they call it a mounting. And a spirit comes on a woman. Usually it's a priestess, and it comes on a woman and she begins to prophesy. Okay? In yoga, they go into that state when they reach what they call the Kundalini awakening. Okay? There's a thing called a whirling dervish. Okay? Very few people know what that is. I read encyclopedias when I was a kid, so I did. But a whirling dervish is a Sufi Muslim who wears an outfit that's a blouse with a dress, looks like a dress, and he spins unbelievably fast, because what happens is as they're spinning and their hands are out like that and they're spinning and all of a sudden the demon comes in, they go into an ecstatic state and they whirl in such a way that's unbelievable. Okay? It's an ecstatic state. So it happens all over the world. I have a word here to speak. Paul and John were both caught off to the third heaven. They didn't ask for it. They didn't run after it. They were seeking God. God took them because He had a purpose and a plan. If you run after third heaven experiences, the heavens are going to open, but it's going to be the second heaven. And you're going to have an experience. And it'll be an angel of light, but it won't be God. Hear that. Don't run after third heaven experiences. To serve God. Love God. Be His. Let Him be in you. If He wants to take you up and show you heaven, He will. He will do that, and He can do that. But don't go running after it. He's in you. Heaven is in her. He's in us. Huh? He's come. And He's coming. But what's happening, a lot of the error in the church is because people are trying, and instead of fighting the enemy and loving people and ministering to people here on the ground, and they're gathered together seeking these ecstatic experiences. And let me tell you something, it doesn't end up well. And there's great delusion coming and when you get those spirits, you're going to have a hard time understanding what's of God and what's not in the days and times to come. Okay. Samuel, the bail box. We had a man come here one time, he said they called that TV bail and they kept it in the kitchen. Okay. Right. You got to be careful what you watch. That can become your idol. Most Americans and most Christians, that they spend a whole lot more time on TV than they do on the things of God. Okay? Uh-oh. Your minister. Your pastor. Oh, it could be your own ministry. Can become your idol. If you're getting your... Listen very carefully to me. If you're getting your value and your identity from what God does through you, you have become your own idol. And those gifts have become your idol. Your value is not about what God does for you. God, listen. Some of the greatest things that God's ever done to me are on my worst days. It's His glory, listen. And I'm gonna tell you this too. If you spend your time worrying about failing, you're also gonna get yourself the credit if God does something for you. Because you can't have one without the other. It's absolutely Him no matter what. Let me tell you something. He gets the glory when He does something great. When the anointing is there and people are touched and lives are changed. He also gets the glory when you run to Him and say, Daddy, I blew it. I need help. He gets it either way. It's not about us. But your ministry, they listen. The gifts of God are without repentance. There are men and people, even right now, and it's happened throughout time, people walking in outright sin. God having mercy on them, trying to call them out on it, and yet people are still getting baptized in the Holy Ghost through their ministry. They're still getting saved. Devils are still being cast out, but they're not walking in holiness, and they're in trouble, and they're going to fall. Because the gifts of God are to get other people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the church build up. It ain't so we say, I'm a prophet, or I'm an apostle, or I'm a teacher, or I put some label on yourself. Be who God's called you to be. Let other people say things. Amen? Anybody says I'm a prophet, I'm going to check their words right there. If they have to say, if they're bragging, let me just say that. They may operate in prophetic. But you got to be careful. I am an apostle. Be careful. Be careful yourself. Now, Pastor Landry comes here. He said, I mean, people call me those things, but I'm not going to. It is an open door for the enemy to destroy you. And if your identity comes in that gift, now listen, what? He will cause a person who operates truly in the gift of the prophetic to one day get in the flesh, because that's where their identity comes from. I don't want to speak to anybody anything that's not from God. Amen? We got to be careful. So let's not make anybody idols. Like the man said, don't put me up on a pedestal. I don't want to fall that far. Amen? Amen. Okay. Oh, your family. If you let your family control and dominate and do ungodly things, you got to walk in love. That's first and foremost. But people can't be more important than the Word of God. Agreeing with their sin because you're afraid of offending them means you're saying, no, there's two things in that. One of them, your face is more important than what God says. And the truth is, if you really love somebody, listen, never look at another human being as if you couldn't do what they're doing, because if you were them, you'd do what they do. And just be grateful you're not in their shoes doing what they're doing in any given time. Okay? So that's sin to get in unholy judgment. But it's also devastating to the body of Christ that people won't tell somebody when they got a rattlesnake in their pocket. Yeah. When they're doing something that'll destroy them.
That's right.
Sin is sin. We have to tell people the thief is here. If we don't tell them, we don't really love. If you love somebody, you're going to be willing to lose what they think about you in order to tell them the truth that they might come out of it. Amen?
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit when He shows you. Amen?
Yes.
Okay. Husband and wife. Uh-oh.
All money.
The old $100 bill. Love of money is the root of all evil. Basically, it's just greediness. Okay? Love of mammon. It's just greediness. And it comes also in fear. Greed, fear. You're afraid you're not going to have enough, so you've got to get more, take from somebody else. And listen, we're born into it. You don't have to teach a baby to slap another one. They already know how. And teach them not to. Slap them, take the rattle, little bitty babies. Right? So, all right, I'm going to give you a moment. And I think we asked this the other day, but I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you a moment just to kind of say, okay, what's my idols, Lord? Everybody say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm asking you.
In Jesus' name.
To show me. What I've made an idol of.
Whether it's me.
Any other human being.
Something I like to do.
And Father, even if I'm battling. At the altar of demons through fear, sexual sin,
whatever
they're moving me to do, I want to know,
because
I want to quit appeasing demons. I don't want to make any more offerings to false gods. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I want to say this. If you're running and you've got anxiety problems, no condemnation to you. But if you're taking medicine, the anxiety keeps increasing. You have to keep taking more because you're not going to the Holy Spirit and getting healed. You're not getting delivered. So every time you have to take that medicine, you're just appeasing that God. People that cut themselves get temporary relief because these gods are demanding a blood sacrifice. And when they cut themselves, they give them a little break till the next round. We need to be able to get healed and deliver people so that they don't do that anymore. And these demons quit getting a peace. So, Father, speak to your people. I ask you in Jesus' name. Show them every aspect in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please.
This really fits in with what you're saying. You know, we may not worship a Buddha or we may not worship Baal, but our big idols is you've got to love me. You've got to affirm me. You can't reject me. You've got to listen to me. You've got to value me. The things that make you angry are linked to to idolatry. Your hot wires are connected to an idol.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know why? That other human being has the right to think whatever they want to. God gave it to them. for us to try to take that away is wrong. And it all goes back to that identity. You don't have your identity in God. You don't have your trust in that Jesus placed the value that He placed on you. This, at the cross, is the value of every human being. The highest price ever paid for anything, anywhere, anytime, Jesus paid for us. That's your value. Not whether you do something good or not. Not whether you're the best of this or the best of that. Not whether somebody else likes you or not. They don't have to agree. Your husband and wife, you go off and repent for each other and pray that God brings you together in unity. Because you can repent for each other as one flesh and come into agreement. And you know, when you get healed, somebody cannot agree with you and you're not wounded by it. You're not hurt because they have a right to. It's okay. Hey, one of us in here got the same exact DNA. How could you expect everyone else going to think exactly alike? They're idols. She's right. I want to say this, Jehovah's Witnesses, people don't, many people, there's a place a lot of Christian churches see that the Jehovah's or the Mormons as Christians, and they even say they're Christians. Okay. Jehovah's a little tighter away from that than the Mormons. But the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Michael, the archangel, is Jesus. Okay? That's a problem. Because Jesus is God, and Michael's a created being. So you can't be God and a created being at the same time, so you have another Jesus. Okay? 1 John 4:3 says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come and is even now already in the world. Anything that denies that Jesus is God. There's lots of, you know, even the Muslims think Jesus is a great man and a prophet and coming back. But they deny He's the Son of God, they deny He's God. Islam denies God has a son. I just said that. The Mormons believe that Jesus is the brother to Lucifer. You've got that same problem that you have with the Jehovah's Witnesses, because you can't be the brother to Satan or Lucifer. He is a cherub. Jesus is not a cherub. He's God. And their heavenly Father was a man who, through holy living, became a God. And He's evolving as a God. Well, our God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So you got a different Father. Amen? But they call themselves Christian, but they're not. They're deceived. I have a sister and her family, they're Mormon. But they're not going to stay that way. Jesus' name. Amen? Our merciful God's going to show them the truth. I know He is. I'm asking, I believe it. I believe what I receive what I believe. Amen? Do battle for them. Golf, tennis, football, baseball, basketball, television, hunting, fishing, husband, wife, children, pastor, the gifts of God, how you look. If you spend a lot of time camped in the mirror, you might be liking the way you look too much.
Movie stars.
Yeah. Anybody. And by the way, you know, there are documented places where somebody put posters of Marilyn Monroe up there in a little girl's room, and she became just like Marilyn Monroe and took the spirit on. And then boys put John Wayne in the room, and they started walking like him because they took the spirit of John Wayne on. It's not John Wayne's spirit, but his spirit that will take his name. And I told you, whatever you'll worship, a spirit will come with that name. And Lord, I just thank You for keeping speaking to Your people. If you get anything for specific repentance, then just make note or write it down. There's that idol of self-idolatry. In placing ourselves, our opinions, our emotions, and our will, our choices, in positions contrary to the Word of God. Justifying our own sinful behavior because of circumstances brought on by others. Our ancestry, or just because we felt like it. Everybody else is doing it. Refusing to allow the Holy Spirit to convict and change us, even when we know right from wrong. That's self-idolatry. That's putting what you want to do on the throne, ahead of God. Who wants to renounce that?
Yes.
Say, Lord.
Lord.
I will put you.
And your word.
On the throne of my life. And I repent.
For ignoring you.
In thought.
And in
deed.
In Jesus' name.
So I renounce
self-idolatry.
In Jesus' name. There's a lust for idols. It's a matter of the heart. Colossians 3:5 says, you must put to death then the earthly desires at work in you, such as sexual immorality, indecency, lust, evil passions, and greed. Greed is a form of idolatry. Colossians 3:6, because of such things, God's anger will come upon those who do not obey Him. You know, God doesn't want to judge us. He doesn't. He's gone to great lengths not to have to judge us according to His standards. But you've got to come by grace into Jesus Christ. And once again, I'm going to say it again, be quick to repent, quick to forgive. Keep the devil out of your business. Keep him out.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.